Predators win 4-1 last night, tie the series up at one apiece. Coming back to Nashville, we bring in our man Willie Donick, who will be traveling back to America's Music City here in just a little bit. But Willie, I don't even know if I'm going to say they stole one, but they got the win, and it's 1-1. They win it 4-1. I thought the first period was not great. Second period was much better, and they were able to hold on and get the W. What were your overall thoughts of the game last night?
Well, in the playoffs, it doesn't always have to be pretty. And I thought the line of the night was Andrew Burnett when he said after the game, he says, "We committed to the pain." 33 block shots. I agree with your assessment, Chase. I don't think it was a steal when you went 4-1. But there were times where you did feel like they were hanging on. But I love the poise and the toughness they played, because they were struggling to keep the puck, which is something they haven't struggled with very much. I mean, they're one of the best ozone possession teams in the league, but so is Vancouver. And Vancouver was all over them in that game. But they defended tremendously well with a lot of heart, a lot of guts, and they did not crack.
No, they didn't. And I thought Saros obviously played a lot better than he did in game one. That was going to be a key. Do you think, though, that they unlocked Forsberg with that goal? I mean, he had a pretty good shot on net right before he scored. Then he scores a two-point night. The stats don't say everything, but do you feel like that maybe that's the playoff Philip Forsberg that everybody's been looking for?
Well, that was a big-time play. That was a massive play in the game that not very many people could make. And that's what separates Philip Forsberg. That's why he's so important to the Predators. They just don't have a lot of guys that could make that play. There's not a lot of guys in the league that could make that shot. He just faked the goalie right out of his shoes. That was fantastic. I still think that even though it was a little bit better last night, they've still got to figure out how to get that line going a little bit more. They're going to need more shots. Philip Forsberg took more shots and more shot attempts than he ever has before, and it wasn't even close. That's why he had 48 goals. But last night, he still only had 3 shots on goal and 2 other shot attempts. That's low for him. And I think at home it would be better, because Andrew Burnett can control the matchups better at home. So I think that's something to look forward to in game 3. But I thought he was a little more dialed in game 2 for sure, and that play spoke for itself.
All right, Willie, a few things. People talk about how loud it was. How loud was it for games 1 and 2 inside that arena?
Well, Joe, they have a thing, you know, just like a lot of arenas do, where they try to pump up the crowd. Now, this is what's special about Bridgestone, right, is the Smashville standing O, which I'm looking forward to, and I know everybody's getting excited about that. It's not prompted, right? There's not, you know, like in the studio audience at a game show where it says applause, yeah. There's a sign going on applause. They don't do that at Bridgestone, right? It's just you have to feel it. The crowd has to connect with the players. The players have to inspire the crowd, and it just happens. The standing O throughout the TV timeout. What they do in Vancouver is they get the decibel meter out, and they get the guy on the microphone, and they start pumping him up and say, "We got to get this going. We're behind. It's not over." And they look, let's see if we can crank it up. And they got the decibel meter over 110 in Vancouver during the TV timeout in the third period. Now, in the game one, it worked. And it was right after that they scored the 2 goals to win game one. Last night, they did the same thing. It didn't work. I'll say this. When they scored those 2 goals in 12 seconds, it was extremely loud. It was a big-time atmosphere, as you would expect in Canada. It's a hungry fan base here. They hadn't played a home playoff game since 2015. That's a long time to go. Imagine in Nashville, you have no playoff games for 9 years. That's not something I want to think about, really. But I think Bridgestone can top it.
Oh, absolutely. I remember a player years ago, Willie. I got him Greg Zannon. I went in the locker room one time after a game, and he had bruises up and down his body from blocking shots. And I was like, man, he's like, sometimes you got to do whatever it takes to win. Last night, the Nashville Predators had 32 block shots. Again, to what Greg Zannon said, sometimes you got to do whatever it takes to win. I mean, that's a record for the team. Just amazing watching those guys last night, Will, and you were there sacrificing their body.
I agree. Commitment to the pain is the line of the night. And the stats We were trying to figure out, Chris Mason and I, after the game, how much ice do you think was used, or how many ice baths people took? Because there were 30. There were, as a team, they blocked 33 shots. They always recalibrate the stats after the game. Somehow Nashville individually only has 30 blocked shots on the stat sheet, but the team blocked 33 according to the Vancouver stat sheet. I don't know how that works, but you get the point, right? That's a ton of blocked shots. And there were 48 hits by Vancouver. Nashville had 32, which is a pretty good number, but 48 hits by Vancouver. So they took 48 hits and blocked 33 shots. And you tell me how much ice that equates to after the game.
Ooh, that's a lot for sure. All right, now we did start the show with this, that Alex Doherty had had the quote from UC Saros after the game, talking about that big hit that with Dakota Joshua when he crashed into the net in the third period. And Saros said, quote, "It was a good thing I was wearing a double cup." So we've learned something today that exists. I didn't know anything about that. Maybe you can ask Chris Mason. He can give a little more insight to goalies in that. But that was a pretty big hit, and glad that Saros is okay.
Well, goodness, I am glad he's wearing the double cup, too. I would think all the guys with all those blocks and stuff we were just talking about would need the double cup. I was just hearkening back to some baseball games that I've seen as well. But, yeah, Saros, that was Dakota Joshua, who's a big, tough player, who was the best player in the game in the first game, scored the two goals, and then he charged towards the net. He got tangled, I think, with Mark Jankowski and went flying into Saros. And luckily, UC was able to get his arm up a little bit to protect himself, but apparently there was some contact to the midsection. But he bounced right back up there. I thought he was outstanding. You know, you're not going to see it in the stats last night because there were only 18 shots on goal. But I would say that there were four or five plays where Vancouver, I thought, was going to score. And UC Saros, like he magically does, just took it away. There were a couple in the first period and a couple in the third period. There was one play in particular. Nashville is hanging on for dear life. They had iced the puck. The Tommy Novak's group was on the ice, which is not the ideal group to start in the defensive zone. And sure enough, Vancouver wins the faceoff. The crowd's going crazy. A guy jumps right into the slot in front of Saros. He makes the save. I thought that was the save of the game, because if it got to 3-2 at any point in that third period, especially there, I think the whole energy of the building changes. But they were able to keep that cushion at 3-1, and they never got inside of that.
Yeah, and that was a key moment for sure. So when do you guys head back?
Well, we'll be heading on the bus here in a little less than an hour, and I'm actually going to join our show at 11 o'clock from the bus. So there's no telling what kind of heckling I'm going to get from Hal Gill and Lindsey Riley and the crew. But I'll try to keep my focus for that. Then the fly back this afternoon and just rest up today. And I think that was good scheduling by the NHL with all of it. You know, it's 2,000 miles. We showed a chart last night, guys. It's 2,000 miles plus to get from Nashville to Vancouver. The entire traveling distance for all four of the Eastern playoff series, it's not even close to 2,000 miles. So, I mean, it's unbelievable how long these things. If you guys have any Netflix, Joe, if you got some movie recommendations, I got some time to kill on this plane here coming up.
I will do that for you. Also, what I think is great, how it all plays in is that, you know, they can't play tomorrow night because Tim McGraw's got a concert. And, you know, and the goal song they play, you know, when they score a goal is Tim McGraw. So this works out perfectly for the next few days, Willie.
Yes, Tim McGraw is a great ally of the Predators, as you know. And so thank you, Tim, for having that concert so we can all rest tomorrow and fuel up for game three on Friday, because it's going to be unbelievable. I cannot wait to see what the crowd has in store. And let's see if the Predators can play off that crowd, have the puck a little bit more. You know, that's a mantra of Andrew Burnett. It's the simplest thing in sports. So, hey, we want the puck. But that's exactly what everything they do is predicated on, is having the puck. And they honestly have not had the puck as much as they want to. Rick Tocchet, even though his goaltender is out, he still feels like he can win because his team has had most of the shots and the shot attempts. So Nashville's got to even that up, but I think they can do that at home, especially with the fans behind them.
Chase says his recommendation for Are You on the Way Home is Vanderpump Rules. So if you can watch that on the way back, Chase said, well, y'all can catch up when he gets back.
Oh, boy.
Do you even know what that is?
Is that something about Vanderbilt? Is that
no.
Evidently, it's the most popular reality show out there that I know nothing about, yet tens of millions of people watch and chase. So yeah. You can enjoy that.
Hey, real quick, two quick things.
I'll float that out there.
What? Two quick things. One, I thought it was probably on purpose, but interesting that Ryan Kesler was in the building last night. Of course, a former foe of the Predators, both with the Canucks and the Ducks. And also, have you and Mace and Hal and Lindsay and everybody started writing a book of Brunoisms yet? Because he's had a couple of good ones over the last two games.
Well, I agree. The Bruno effect is real. He's not long-winded. He's not going to give you a soliloquy up at the podium or on any interviews. I think he's had, honestly, I think his best stuff is on our station when he goes on with Robbie and Joe, or the odd time he comes on with you guys or us.
Yeah.
I think he's great in that, where he's a little more laid back. When all the microphones and people are in front of him, he's a little more brief when he's up there. But he does have a lot of little pieces of knowledge. You can just tell the hockey mind that he has, how much he studies the game away from the rink, how much he studies other sports, which is a big thing that you guys talked to him about. And he picks up every little tidbit he can to try to help his team win. And so he's going to need that in this series. But it's game on now. He got the split coming back to Nashville.
Yep. Well, Willie, appreciate it. Safe travels coming back to Smashville. And we will see you here tomorrow, but also Friday at Bridgestone Arena. Really looking forward to it.
All right. Can't wait to get home, guys. Thanks for having me on.